Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, May 6, 2022, Section A. Trends signal spike in local gas prices, by Stuart Doreen. The up and down nature of gas prices across the state continued this week. Prices spiked by 10 cents or more in 18 of the 27 largest metropolitan areas, according to AAA Texas. At another five areas, the price increased 9 cents. Prices jumped just about everywhere except Midland, Odessa, and El Paso. The three communities where prices have been the highest in the state recently showed the smallest increases this week. In the case of El Paso, there was no change in price. The outcome was the rest of the state caught up or passed those areas of West Texas. In Midland, the average price increased 6 cents this week. That's now the second highest average of larger metropolitan areas behind Texarkana. Tied for the third highest average are El Paso, Odessa, and Longview. The price in Odessa rose 4 cents. The state average rose 11 cents to $3.90. Midland's average is just 5 cents higher. This week, drivers noticed prices on the rise due to the crude oil market still reacting to the war in Ukraine. What remains to be seen is whether Midland's average is destined to increase next week. Physical Therapist Looks to Help Heal, by J.C. Lewis. A retired dancer made her way to Midland to open her own physical therapy practice almost a year and a half ago. Along the way, she also has had to amend the mindset that surrounds the subject of her specialty. Stephanie Oslowski didn't start out wanting to be a physical therapist. "I was a competitive Irish dancer, like Riverdance," she said. "I would practice in the basement on the concrete and then end up doing a lot of damage to my knees and hips." Oselowski also started seeing a physical therapist and heard the call to join the PT ranks. It was a career change for her because she had been running a dance school for close to 15 years. After going through undergraduate studies, she received her doctorate in physical therapy. She initially thought she wanted to work with dancers. "I ended up having pelvic floor issues while I was in PT school. That got me interested in what a pelvic floor is and why nobody talks about it." She saw the opportunity to help women and men be empowered in terms of their healing with their pelvic floor muscles, which are located between the tailbone and the pubic bone within the pelvis. Her journey to Midland is another matter. "I grew up in Pennsylvania, where I started my dance school. My husband came here to work for the Kent Companies. He came down here thinking he would work out here for a year, then come back. When her husband was living in Midland, he told her how he liked the community and that there was a pelvic physical therapist she might be able to work for here. I called her and she told me that she was moving out of the area. She told me that nobody was doing pelvic floor physical therapy and that I should move to Midland and start a practice. She told the physical therapist that she didn't want to move to Midland and start her own practice, but circumstances changed. There have been a few times in my life when I felt like God has spoken to me. Moving to Midland was just one of those times because he was urging me to make the move." She said she ended up really liking Midland when visiting. "I love the community and the weather is different, but I like the sun. In Pennsylvania, there are a lot more dreary days, and I actually have seasonal depression, so moving here and having the sun out every day has been great." She said she'd never lived in a place where people are so friendly, and she thinks she was always meant to move here. "I have always enjoyed country music," she said. "I was the only person I knew growing up who liked it, and I'm unsure how I ever started listening to it. I've always enjoyed iced tea, and that's not a big thing in Pennsylvania." She was invited to a church upon moving to town and joined Stonegate, where she met her best friend in a women's Bible study. It's been difficult because I've been here over a year, and the two good friends I've made while here have left somewhere for somewhere else. That's been challenging, to move somewhere with no friends in a transient community, because you can connect with someone, but they're on to the next place. She made the move to Midland in January of 2021 when the doors opened to her practice on February 1st. It was my goal to treat 4 days a week between 9 and 5, and within a few months my schedule was totally full. Now she's looking to add another physical therapist to the practice to help take some of her workload. She also has a 5-week wait list, which has shown her work isn't slowing down. It's great the amount of work. My passion for the body and understanding it has made me fit the physical therapist I am today. I really treat concerns in the pelvic region, but when I started to look above and below, I could see issues people were having relating to the pelvic issue or vice versa. A lot of her work in Midland has also been educating people about the pelvic region and pain. People don't feel comfortable talking about bladder and bowel functioning, or if there's pain or sexual dysfunction, all that stuff that I treat. I really help normalize the conversation about the pelvic floor. Oselowski added that sharing her knowledge with people has helped empower them and work to heal that region. Most of the people who experience pain or dysfunction are women postpartum. About 80% of women will suffer from pelvic muscle dysfunction in their lifetime, with men and children having 10 to 20% likelihood. Being in a community where there are a lot of moms, it has been really neat to see women sending their friends who send their friends. They might be having issues that can be addressed with strength training or appropriate care. Upon moving to Midland, she immediately started hosting workshops, educating people about the pelvic floor region and how her training can help with pain and other issues. I created a workshop called The Pelvic Talk, where I talked about all the things people may come to see me for and how activities people are engaging in are contributing to that. I would give people tools to help them problem solve themselves. I did my first talk on January 30th, which was a good way to get the word out about my practice. She's given talks for the Junior League and MOPS, Moms of Preschoolers, as well as hosting talks at Anthus and her bank, Prosperity Bank. The biggest reason why I agree to move here is to provide care for people who didn't have access. In Pennsylvania, I was at a clinic with 5 other therapists. Then there was a clinic across the street starting a program, and everywhere you'd go, people would be a patient of a pelvic PT. But here, nobody even knew it existed. Above all, she's continuing to fulfill her duty as a physical therapist. I love healing and being part of that process. Before moving, she was engaged to her now husband. He moved to Midland a year before she did, so during their engagement, they had a lot of FaceTime calls, and he would visit her back home on the weekends. Moving to Midland and starting her practice put wedding plans on hold. So the couple decided to elope with 2 sets of their parents in Marfa at the historic courthouse. She's still hoping for a big wedding with family and friends, but those plans are on hold as her practice grows. Her practice has continued to expand in the Midland Athletic Company building, most recently with Stretch Therapy Services. This alternative to massage and chiropractic services helps people with relaxation and mobility. I noticed with a lot of my pain patients, they all have tension in muscles and lack of mobility. When people have tension and less mobility, then they move less and have more pain. It ends up being a downward spiral. She even wanted some relief herself because she relies so heavily upon her body and her profession. I would come home with aches and stiffness and would think, I just want someone to stretch me. Oselowski then saw the opportunity to expand the practice and involve some of her employees who were going back to school to become physical therapy assistants. She thought about how she could give the employees hands-on experience without the need for supervision. The service was launched last month. When it was launched, she wanted it to be an adjunct service for her patients who were coming in but needed stretching so she could focus on other issues. Bigger cities have clinics where people go in to be stretched by therapists. Many people, from oil field workers to runners, golfers, and baseball players, have utilized the service. Everyone can benefit from being stretched because no matter if someone is sitting all day or moving in different ways, muscles get tight. Her vision for the practice is to be a cafe for holistic care. She would like to bring on a massage therapist to the team and maybe even an acupuncturist someday. First Christian Church leader says church's outreach is the drawing point. Reverend David Chisholm has been the senior minister at First Christian Church since August 2021. The opportunity to come to Midland provided the challenge of bringing a congregation back from the COVID pandemic and allow his family to return to West Texas, where he and his wife Corey have roots and family in the region. Chisholm said those things that make First Christian special include its community involvement, including the church's pantry. The church's mission is to work for the unity of all Christians as the body of Christ and in all ways seek to make known the love of God. Corey works at Museum of the Southwest as the Director of Visitor Experience and Membership. Their daughter Lane attends the Bush Elementary presently and will go into Carver Center next year as a fifth grader. First Christian is located at 1301 West Louisiana. MRT. What was your welcome to Midland moment? Chisholm. The day we pulled in and there was a crew from my congregation to help unload the truck. What was the draw to coming to FCC in Midland? A great congregation with incredible outreach to the community through a weekly food pantry, children's learning center, and a host of other annual projects. A talented staff with ministries to all ages and wonderful music and worship. Midland is close to where my wife grew up in Abilene and where I went to the seminary at Abilene Christian. Also put us much closer to family. Dropping a name here, my mother-in-law is Fran Adkins, who was a CBS TV anchor and personality in Abilene from the 80s to the 2000s. What's your favorite part of working at FCC? Great staff and a membership committed to making a difference in our community. What's your favorite thing about Midland? Generous and welcoming people, and you're only ever 15 minutes or less from anywhere you need to go in town. What are the challenges facing you in 2022? Reopening after COVID. It takes time to rebuild inertia after so many had to stay home and limit activities for almost 2 years. Are any books or podcasts that you recommend? Gospel con Carne. Books, anything Fred Craddock, N.T. Wright, Henry Nguyen, Thomas Merton, Will Williamson, and Walter Brueggemann. Tell us something about the FCC calendar that we need to know about. You just missed our annual community egg hunt in Hill Park. More than 1,000 attended. We're finishing our Christmas in Action House this week. Coming up, we have VBS June 13 to 16, and our kids are busy with camps and conferences through the summer. What's your favorite restaurant? Noodle House, any barbecue brisket place, and too many Tex-Mex places to list. Texans will decide on two measures aiming to cut property taxes during Saturday's constitutional amendment election. Proposition 1 would approve the tax cuts for elderly and disabled homeowners beginning in 2023, while a second measure seeks to raise the state's homestead exemption from $25,000 to $40,000. Voting will take place from 7 to 7 at 7 locations across Midland County. Those locations are the Annex Courtroom at 2110 North A Street, Centennial Library out on the Loop, Cogdell Learning Center, 201 West Florida, Fairmont Park Church of Christ, 3813 North Midland Drive, Golf Course Church of Christ, 3500 West Golf Course Road, MLK Junior Community Center, 2300 Butternut Lane, and St. Paul United Methodist Church, 4501 Thomason Drive. Woman dies at MMH after collision. A Midland woman died Monday after a collision on Interstate 20. The report stated that Mary Lou Mosley died at Midland Memorial Hospital after another vehicle struck her car. Preliminary information showed that Mosley's Toyota Camry was parked or stopped in the westbound lane of I-20, and a Volvo tractor with trailer struck the rear of her car. The accident happened about 11:26 p.m. Monday, 2 miles west of Midland. It was not known if Mosley was wearing a seatbelt. Local man accused of indecency with child. Mickey Wayne Olivo was arrested and charged Tuesday with indecency with a child involving sexual contact. The 15-year-old victim told forensic investigators at Harmony Homes that Olivo first assaulted her when she was 11, according to the affidavit. The victim told investigators that Olivo told her not to tell anyone what had happened because he could go to jail. He is being held Thursday at Midland County Detention Center on a $150,000 bond for the second-degree felony charge. Paula Benedict Anderson passed away on May the 2nd. A graveside service will be held at Rest Haven Cemetery at 11 a.m. on Friday. Reception to follow at St. Paul's Anglican Church on North A. James Montgomery Earle passed away on April 30th. Cremation services have been arranged by the family. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Julio Garza of Midland passed away in Austin on April 27th. Burial will be held at May 10th at 10 a.m. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland. Lonnie Short of Midland Dad passed away on April 30th. Graveside services will be May the 10th at 11 a.m. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Funeral Home. Tommy Gatlin passed away on May the 2nd. Graveside service will be held on May the 4th at 2 p.m. at American Heritage Cemetery. William Womack passed away on May 3rd. The family will receive guests from 5 to 7 p.m. Monday, May 9th at Nellie Picklemore's Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 11:30 a.m. Tuesday at First Christian Church, with interment following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklemore's Funeral Home.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, May 6th, 2022. Pfluger meets with constituents. Odessan Robert Novak said he expected a typical politician meet-and-greet when Congressman August Pfluger, Republican San Angelo, invited his constituents to coffee on Thursday at Doughboy's Cafe. Novak received a little different experience. The lifelong Odessan had a one-on-one conversation with Pfluger as Novak aired concerns he has that he hopes Pfluger can take back to Washington. Quote, he will talk to anybody, end quote, Novak said about Pfluger. Quote, he'll share your thoughts and ideas and let you know what's going on. Everything that I asked him, he answered. To me, he answered truthfully. He's an extension of our arm. If you don't use it, we aren't going to get anywhere. People need to get out and speak to him, end quote. Coffee with Pfluger started around 8 a.m., and the congressman answered questions from the media after he had a conversation with nearly every person in Doughboy's Cafe. The crowd of constituents included State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Mayor Javier Jovan, District 1 Councilman Mark Mata, At-Large District Councilwoman Denise Swanner, Odessa Police Department Chief Michael Girk, and Ector County Judge Candidate Dustin Fawcett. Quote, there are so many things that we are working on to be able to have a conversation, shake somebody's hand, hear their story, and take that to Washington, D.C. is really important, end quote, Pfluger said. Pfluger spoke to the media about how important it was to get Trevor Reed of Granbury returned to Texas after being detained in a Russian prison for nearly 1,000 days. On Wednesday, the Bring Our Families campaign was launched in an effort to help family members of American hostages and wrongfully held detainees to be brought home. Pfluger said it's great to see Reed's family take the initiative and help families going through similar experiences. Quote, we are going to keep at this, end quote, Pfluger said. Quote, we want them home. This is the greatest country in the world, and Trevor Reed knows that, and that's why I fought so hard for him, end quote. After speaking with constituents, Pfluger said one of the biggest concerns is about border security. Pfluger said his sponsored bill, H.R. 4209, DHS, Illicit Cross-Border Tunnel Defense Act, that was passed by the House on April 5th, would authorize the U.S. Customs and Border Protection activities to identify and remediate illicit cross-border tunnels. Quote, we know the cartels will use tunnels to transmit drugs or to traffic humans in some cases, end quote, Pfluger said. Quote, this is a layered defense. This is one piece of it. Although that doesn't solve the entire problem, it's one piece of the puzzle to deter cartels and organizations, end quote. Bond election is Saturday. With election day for Ector County ISD, proposed $398 million bond coming up Saturday, Superintendent Scott Murray aimed to clarify the location of the proposed high school and how students from other districts are paid for. During his media call Wednesday, Murray also talked about some good academic news on the measure of academic progress, MAP, tests, although he didn't offer specifics. The results will be presented to the ECISD Board of Trustees at a June workshop, he said. Polls are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday. Proposition A for $215,255,000 would include maintenance and life cycle repair / replacement for school district buildings, $130,255,000. This would be various projects for electrical, mechanical, plumbing, fire and life safety, and others at schools and auxiliary buildings. It also includes construction of a new $70 million career and technical education center, which would include classroom and lab space for programs like welding, construction, health science, automation and process technology, HVAC, plumbing, and others. Estimated at 150,000 square feet, includes furniture, fixtures, and equipment. Classroom technology upgrades for $15 million would include classroom and or campus audio, visual, and multimedia refresh or additions. Proposition B for $183 million would be for a new comprehensive high school designed for 2,500 to 2,800 students. It would cover an estimated 400,000 square feet and include furniture, fixtures, and equipment and be located on 100 acres at Yukon and Fodry Roads that the district purchased in 2015 for a little more than $2 million. Ector County Appraisal District Chief Appraiser Anita Campbell said in an email last week that the appraised value of the land ECISD purchased in 2015 at Yukon and Fodry Roads, where the proposed high school would go. In 2016, rural land values in that area ranged from $250 per acre to $27,878 per acre, depending on tract size, Campbell wrote. $250 per acre was market value for large tracts receiving agricultural productivity special use appraisal value at $7 per acre, she detailed. The tract the district purchased was at $250 per acre, as it was part of a much larger 636 acres tract. Current values in that area range from $6,380 per acre to $157,250 per acre, depending on size and use, she wrote. A new high school would also relieve overcrowding at Permian and Odessa high schools, which each have about 4,000 students. The ECISD website says district leaders anticipate this bond will create a tax rate increase of 15 cents and, for a home with a taxable value of $100,000, would equate to a tax increase of approximately $12 per month. There would be no tax increase on residents' homesteads for taxpayers 65 and older, as state law dictates that the tax rate and the amount paid on a residence are frozen when that person turns 65 years old. Applies for the exemption and is approved by the Ector County Appraisal District. ECISD gives local taxpayers a 20% homestead exemption, which is the maximum allowed by law. The bond committee and school board recognized the need for two high schools and initially proposed that. Quote, but when we spoke with our community and conducted a survey of 1,000 registered voters, the survey was really clear the dollar amount on the bond needed to remain below $400 million. End quote, Murray said. Quote, and because of that, we had to take that request for two high schools down to only one high school. The decision was made to use a philosophy of worst is first, end quote. Quote, the area of our community that is experiencing the greatest population growth, specifically in the area of children that would attend the school, is in the northeast part of our community. And so the recommendation was made, and the board decided to build one high school, and that is in the northeast corner of our community, end quote, Murray said. However, trustees and the bond committee recognized the need for two high schools, one in the southwest area of the county and another in the northeast. Quote, we anticipate offering up to our community a second high school in the not-so-distant future as we consider our next bond. Our goal is to be on a five-year bond cycle. As a community, every 5 years we would present a bond. So in the next 5 years, our community should anticipate seeing another bond that will once again address the capital expenditure needs of ECISD, end quote, Murray said. As a school system, he added, they need to meet with voters on a regular basis to share district needs. Quote, we have not done that as a school system for the last 20 or 30 years. Our bonds have been very reactionary, and so we must help our community and understand that we must invest in the capital needs of our school system on a regular basis, end quote, Murray said. When a student attends ECISD from another school district using the transfer process, he said, the money follows the child. Quote, the money for that child, which is approximately $9,100, is provided by the state of Texas. We receive those dollars and invest those dollars in that child. So once again, the full amount to pay for a child to attend school in ECISD is provided by our state. We simply let the state know that another student from another district has entered our school district, and then we basically build a space for that student, end quote, Murray said. Murray also announced that MAP data in a quick analysis tells ECISD that, quote, we for the first time have closed academic gaps in both reading and mathematics in all grade areas, kindergarten through eighth grade, end quote. Quote, that's great news for our kids and outstanding news for our teachers as we honor our teachers this week. This is Teacher Appreciation Week in the United States, and we celebrate and lift up those teachers that invest deeply in the lives of our students. I can't think of a better way to celebrate and honor our teachers than by sharing evidence today with our community of the significant work that our teachers are doing, end quote, Murray said. Quote, the data that we released today is exciting and is clear evidence that the work the 2,000 teachers we have in ECISD do is absolutely making a difference in the student growth and academic achievement of our kids, end quote, he added. Unity is the message during celebrations. Community members spoke about unity and its importance at this year's Cinco de Mayo Unity Luncheon, which took place Thursday afternoon at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. The event was put on by Hispanic Heritage of Odessa. Numerous people from around the community were recognized at the luncheon as different awards were given out. Cinco de Mayo is observed to commemorate the Mexican Army's victory over the French Empire at the Battle of Puebla in 1862. State Farm agent and former Odessa City Councilman Filiberto Gonzalez began the unity portion of the event. Quote, every year we select different individuals that have made a positive impact in the community of Odessa and the people of Ector County, end quote, Filiberto said. At last year's luncheon, healthcare workers from around the area were honored for their work during the ongoing COVID pandemic. This year, Odessa Police Department Chief Mike Girk, Sergeant Elizabeth Beza of the Ector County Sheriff's Office, and Jeanette Fierro of Hispanic Heritage of Odessa all spoke on unity. Quote, unity, unfortunately, is not so easily achieved, end quote, Girk said to the attendees. Quote, a simple definition of unity, which is a state being united or joined together as a whole. But how do we get there? I believe the main component of unity is having a common goal, end quote. Girk then used the United States in World War II as an example in his speech, as well as Mexico's battle against the French Empire in the Battle of Puebla. Quote, the military men were going off to war to fight that evil, but also remember the people in the home front had to do their part. But think about the Mexican army in the Battle of Puebla in 1862. The Mexican army was poorly equipped compared to the French and outnumbered, but they prevailed because they had unity and purpose, end quote. He also spoke about compromise. Quote, compromise is important because we all have different ideas of what's important, end quote, Girk said. Quote, these different priorities will naturally cause friction, but that's a good thing, end quote, Kirk finished his speech by talking about the importance of moving forward. Quote, to move forward as a community and a nation, we have to embrace our differences, end quote, Kirk said. Quote, everyone has strengths and weaknesses. The power of unity is bringing those strengths together, end quote. Another theme throughout the luncheon was about paving the way for future generations. Former Odessa Mayor Lorraine Perryman and Delma Abalos encouraged those in attendance at Thursday's luncheon to go out and vote in the upcoming ECISD bond referendum on May 7th. In two separate positions, the $398 million bond includes a new comprehensive high school, technology upgrades, a career and technical education center, and maintenance and lifecycle repairs. Proposition A for $215,255,000 includes maintenance and lifecycle repairs slash replacement for school buildings at a cost of $130,255,000. This includes various projects for electrical, mechanical, plumbing, fire and life safety, and others at schools and auxiliary buildings. Also included is the construction of a new career and technical education center for $70 million. Proposition B for $183 million includes a new comprehensive high school designed for 2,500 to 2,800 students with about 400,000 square feet. Quote, it is paramount to the economic future of Ector County that we invest in this, end quote, Perryman said. Quote, business and industries will not move here if we do not have a functioning, high-performing school district and facilities that meet the needs of today and the future, end quote. Perryman continued using the Battle of Puebla as an example. Quote, we the people are the ones that need to fight for this, just like in the Battle of Puebla, end quote, Perryman said. Quote, the only way we win is for us as citizens to fight for this, end quote. Abalos spoke about the possible new high school. Quote, this high school is not for just one side of town, end quote, Abalos said. Quote, the fact is there is a 72% majority Hispanics in our district. That's not going away either. We're building this for our kids, end quote. Beza echoed some of the thoughts from Perryman and Abalos in her speech and reminded the community members to always get involved and vote. Quote, let's pave the way for the next generations, end quote, Beza said. Quote, fight to make a difference in our community today. You don't like the way things are. Get involved. Go get out and vote. Don't sit there and complain. Go out there and vote, end quote. Beza recently won the race for the Justice of the Peace Precinct 4 back in March, winning the Democratic primary. There were no Republican or independent challengers for that precinct. Fierro talked about diversity in her speech. Quote, our community, Odessa, has so much potential, end quote, Fierro said. Quote, we should never waste it, end quote. She also challenged everyone to get to know each other. Quote, don't be afraid to introduce yourself and have a conversation with a stranger, end quote, Fierro said. Quote, you never know what it will bring, end quote. Hispanic Heritage of Odessa president Liliana Marquez delivered the opening remarks to the luncheon. State Representative for District 81, Brooks Landgraf, and his wife, Shelby Landgraf, did the prayer, and Fire Chief John Alvarez led a moment of silence for the posting of the flags from the Odessa Fire and Rescue Honor Guard. City Councilman Mark Mata led the Pledge of Allegiance. Sandra Eoff and her husband, Toby Eoff, were awarded the Julian Rubio Puro Corazon Award during the luncheon. United Family launches second Bacon Fest. A press release issued Thursday morning details United Supermarkets, Market Street, and Amigos locations across Texas launched their second Bacon Fest, a month where bacon takes its rightful place in the spotlight. Bacon Fest will run until May 24th, and throughout that time, each location will be providing a huge selection of bacon-related products, the press release stated. Guests can look for their typical package of bacon, however. There will be special bacon creations across the store from the bakery to the meat market. Some of the featured bacon items making an appearance during Bacon Fest will be bacon mac and cheese, bacon cookies, chocolate-covered bacon, and more. Quote, we are so excited to launch our second annual Bacon Fest, end quote. Scott Nettles, Director of Meat and Seafood for the United Family, stated in the press release. Quote, from bacon cookies to bacon-wrapped items to put on the grill, Bacon Fest is going to give us an opportunity to remind everyone of the great ways they can use bacon, as well as some ways they may not have thought of before. Some say you can't buy happiness, but we have created some incredible new bacon items, and we hope that will get you pretty close. End quote. MCH nurses tout support, love of colleagues, and profession. A U.S. Health and Human Services study details Texas is ranked near the top when it comes to the country's nursing shortage, and by 2030, the state will fall roughly 16,000 nurses shy of meeting the anticipated demand. Federal officials believe only California will rank worse, falling 44,500 shy of the anticipated demand. Two Medical Center Hospital nurses who are celebrating National Nurses Week this week said they can't imagine any other profession. Yolanda Rios started at MCH 7 years ago as a certified nursing assistant and became a registered nurse just months before COVID-19 hit. When she was hired, she was looking for a way to support her family, but ended up falling in love with the profession. Even though she had tough moments during the height of the pandemic, thinking about bringing the virus home to her family, the emergency room nurse said she felt supported and loved by her colleagues. Quote, "We were all a team together. We all got each other through it. We were all feeling the same emotions at the same time, but it didn't feel like I was alone in that moment," end quote, Rios said. Quote, "I had support through it, and so it didn't break me as a nurse. It made me stronger," end quote. She also felt supported by her patients. Quote, "The patients saw that we were willing to risk our lives, essentially, to protect them, to take care of them, and so they were thankful," end quote, Rios said. "Nursing while wearing masks hasn't been easy, though," she said. Quote, "It's hard. When you're looking at a patient and you're like, I'm going to give you these medicines and I'm going to take care of you. They can't even see your face. They can only see your eyes," end quote, Rios said. Quote, "How do you gain their trust when they can't even see who is taking care of them? Some of them don't have families, so you're like, can I call anyone? When they don't, it's very sad. What do you do at that moment? You be their family," end quote. "Even now, some of those patients come back to the hospital and remember their names," she said. Nicole Strickland was still in nursing school at Midland College when the pandemic hit, but she never considered changing course. Her father is a doctor and her grandmother is a nurse, and she always felt, quote, called to serve, end quote. The intensive care unit nurse worked as a tech in the emergency room for a few years and spent a year as a nursing intern. She became a registered nurse exactly 1 year ago. Quote, "I'm so grateful for my time in the ER, but in the ICU, there's so much to learn, and it is difficult. Every day is a challenge. You learn something new every day. You can work in ICU for 20 years and never learn everything that there is to know about ICU nursing, and that's what I love about it," end quote, Strickland said. Quote, "There's so much that's changing about it. Every day we come up with new studies, new evidence-based practice for us to follow. It's difficult, but I love it how difficult it is," end quote. "Some days are tougher than others, but she's never imagined giving up the profession," she said. Quote, "I come home crying sometimes. I have a lot of compassion for my patients, and it's hard. But when I think to myself, it's like I know that I've provided the best care to the family and to the patient, and I want to come back the next day and keep providing that care," end quote, Strickland said. Quote, "If they can one day look and say, you know, when my father was dying, that nurse Nicole really helped me through this time. I don't think I could have done without her. That's enough for me to come to work every day," end quote. Local news roundup. Odessan accused of shooting at man. An Odessa felon accused of illegally possessing a firearm was arrested again Wednesday after a local resident accused him of shooting at him. An Odessa Police Department report detailed that residents on McKnight Drive called 911 around 5:30 p.m. March 17th about someone firing a weapon. When they arrived, a man said he saw two men parked outside his house in a Chevrolet Impala, and the passenger, quote, flashed, quote, unquote, and, quote, Uzi, end quote, at him when he asked them who they were. The man said he retrieved a knife from inside his house to defend himself, and the passenger fired his gun directly at him. A witness identified the passenger as a man named Damien and showed an officer his Facebook profile, the report said. The officer located a Damien Arturo Dominguez, 24, in the police department's records and jailing system, confirmed it was the same man, and put him in a photo lineup with other men. According to the report, the McKnight Drive resident looked at the lineup and confirmed it was Dominguez who had fired at him. Dominguez was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and later released on a $40,000 surety bond. Hector County District Court online records indicate Dominguez was convicted in October 2020 of a drug offense and was indicted in January on a charge of unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon. He's still awaiting trial in that case. Odessa arrested following shooting. An Odessa man was arrested Sunday after witnesses told police he shot another man in the abdomen. An Odessa Police Department report detailed that residents in the 300 block of East 43rd Street called 911 around 11 p.m. Saturday about a man who had been shot. When officers arrived, they found a man suffering from a gunshot wound to the upper left abdomen in the backyard of a home, and he was taken to Medical Center Hospital. According to the report, officers also found Marcos Anthony De Ojos, who was identified as the gunman by witnesses, at the scene. A witness told police De Ojos, 25, and the shooting victim were arguing when De Ojos went inside the residence, got a black revolver, and continued arguing with the other man. According to the report, two witnesses then heard a gunshot and saw the other man fall to the ground. Officers found a black revolver on the floor of a detached garage at the residence, the report said. De Ojos was booked into the Hector County Jail shortly after 2 a.m. Sunday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He was released Monday after posting a $100,000 surety bond. No updates on the shooting victim's condition were immediately available Thursday. Officials, middle school fight staged. Two Crockett Middle School 7th graders, who looked like they were in a fight Wednesday, were not. Principal Maribel Aranda and Hector County ISD Police Officer Larissa Hernandez said Thursday. The incident occurred after school in front of the campus, and Aranda said the video that is going around doesn't show the whole thing. Hernandez said it started with the two boys talking, pushing, and walking away, and then the, quote, crowd just swarms them, end quote. Aranda said the other students spurred the two boys on. She added that the boys might have walked away if no one said anything. Although it looks like one of the boys in the video is having a seizure, Aranda said he was crying. Quote, I can tell you that his nose was bleeding, but no, he got up fine. The nurse checked him, the parent was contacted. He was fine, he was responsive. He talked to the other officer that was here. He's here today, end quote, Aranda said. Quote, he was just crying, certainly understandable, but no, he did not have a seizure. And that's what it looked like, but no, he was crying. He cried pretty hard, end quote. She added that the other boy was not at school Thursday. Aranda said sometimes the fights are staged. Quote, when kids are almost getting into a fight, I bring them in, and I hear that there may be a fight, and I talk to both of them, and I say, well, did she tell you that she wanted to fight you? Do you even know the person, the boy or the girl? Well, not really, so who told you? Well, my friend, so it's always somebody telling them something, end quote, Aranda said. She added that the first thing that comes out when there's a fight are the cameras, and that's exactly what they want. They want you to give them a show, and they're the ones not in trouble, you are, end quote, Aranda said. Hernandez said she thinks there are social media pages for every school where students record fights and post them anonymously. Aranda said they sometimes stage fights. Some fights happen in the restrooms where they have 10-second fights and there are no cameras. Quote, if we do get the video and we find there's consequences, and we find them, there's consequences. We don't have a camera there, for sure, but if somebody brings it to us, we do deal with it. End quote, Aranda said. On the administrative end, Aranda said there are consequences, which could be anything from suspension all the way to alternative education. Hernandez said for the police, it depends on their investigation. If it's a mutual combat fight, they will both be cited for disorderly conduct fighting. Quote, they'll have to go to municipal court and go through their teen court process. If it's an assault, if it's a Class C, the same thing, go to municipal court and go from there. End quote, Hernandez said. Quote, but if it's a Class A or above, they actually get arrested and they're disposed of through the Hector County Youth Center, end quote, Hernandez said. Hernandez said the officer that was on campus Wednesday is conducting an investigation. In the state of Texas, Hernandez said, you are criminally liable at 10 years old. Hernandez said incidents like this happen after spring break when it's warm, everybody gets antsy, and it's near the end of school. Quote, we see more kids trying to get in trouble, like she said, when it gets hot, and they know that the end of school is near, end quote, Aranda said. Sometimes the students getting in trouble are the ones that never have. Quote, sometimes it's just little things, but sometimes it's like a fight, and so we deal with it. We let the students know there's consequences, and consequences not just administratively, but it could be legally, end quote. Quote, those actions and consequences can ruin your future, end quote, Aranda said. Quote, I know they're still young and they're learning, but I hate that sometimes maybe something like this can ruin the future that they may have because they don't think about it or they thought it was funny to be on one of their websites, end quote. Hernandez said fights on video have always been, quote, a thing, end quote. But students now have so much access to social media. She said there are pages like Crockett Fights, Odessa, or Permian High School Fights. Quote, you have all these pages where an anonymous person sets it up, and then people submit it through direct message, and then it gets posted on this site. You can report them to Instagram for bullying and harassment or violence or whatever and hope that they get taken down because it violates their community standards, but they won't, end quote, Hernandez said. Aranda said a lot of negative actions start with a post and somebody says something on some type of social media and it happens outside of school, but then it gets into the school. During the day, Aranda said students are not allowed to be on their phones. Quote, but that does not mean that they're not. They're pretty bright. They find a way, end quote, she added. If they are seen with their phones, the phones are taken away and the parent has to pick it up. Quote, everybody has a phone now, so it's very difficult, end quote, Aranda said. Hernandez said parents need to report to their child's principal or their child's campus officer that their child is having an issue at school. Aranda said the school does a lot of mediation. She added that they do stay away agreements. Quote, we bring him in and sometimes they're still mad at each other, which is fine, but so we do stay away agreements. If they violate it, then there's consequences. We're doing everything that we can to avoid them getting in trouble because we want them here. They're not learning if they're suspended, so it's important for them to be here. But the drama gets in the way of their learning sometimes too, end quote, Aranda said. Crockett has about 1,100 students and one officer. Hernandez is based at Odessa High School, but was at Crockett Thursday because the regular officer, Matt Gonzalez, is in training this week. Fate of school bonds on ballot Saturday. Will Odessa get a new high school and or a career and technical education center? The answer to that question will come Saturday, after voters take to the polls to vote on ECISD's two proposed bond options, one that could put the first new high school in Odessa in more than 50 years. Voters will face the $398,000, $255,000 bond, which comes in two propositions. Proposition A, $215,255,000, which would include maintenance and lifecycle repairs slash replacement for school district buildings. $130,255,000. Construction of a new career and technical center. $70 million, which would include classroom and lab space for programs like welding, construction, health science, automation, and process technology, HVAC, plumbing, and others. It would cover an estimated at 150,000 square feet and include furniture, fixtures, and equipment. Classroom technology upgrades, $15 million, also would be included. That would feature classroom and or campus audiovisual and multimedia refresh or additions. Proposition B for $183 million would go for a new comprehensive high school at UConn and Vaudrey Roads. The district purchased the 100-acre site about 2 years ago for a little over $2 million. The new high school would be 6A and have a 2,500 to 2,800 student capacity. It would cover an estimated 400,000 square feet and include furniture, fixtures, and equipment. The district website said leaders anticipate the bond will create a tax rate increase of 15 cents and, for a home with a taxable value of $100,000, would equate to a tax increase of approximately $12 per month. There would be no tax increase on residents' homesteads for taxpayers 65 and older, as state law dictates that the tax rate and the amount paid on a residence are frozen when that person turns 65 years old, applies for the exemption, and is improved by the Ector County Appraisal District. ECISD gives local taxpayers a 20% homestead exemption, which is the maximum allowed by law. Voting centers. Election day for the Constitutional Amendment special election and the Ector County Independent School District special bond election will be from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday at any of the voting centers. Vote centers are Blackshear Elementary School, Main Hall, 501 South Dixie Boulevard, Crossroads Fellowship, room 1135, 6901 Highway 191, Frontage. Faith Fellowship Lutheran Church, Foyer, 1603 North Grandview Avenue. Kellis Turner Community Building, 2230 Sycamore Drive. MCM Elegante Hotel, Hawaiian Ballroom, 5200 East University Boulevard. Odessa Christian Faith Center, 180 Youth Building, Sanctuary, 8828 Andrews Highway. United Market, 1350 East 8th Street. United Market, 2751 North County Road West. Wilson's Corner Dining Room, 16514 South U.S. Highway 385. For more information, call 432-498-4030 or visit tinyurl.com/2p9xyfjv in Odessa, or call 432-688-4890 or visit tinyurl.com/2p8fs6sv in Midland. Angie's Babies continues after 4 years. It was a few years ago when Julie Gray and Mary Wright McCourt decided to turn their grief into something positive. That's when the idea for Angie's Babies came about. It was 2018 when Gray's grandmother, Angie Clark, died after her 15-year battle with Alzheimer's. Gray had become a regular caregiver for her grandmother at the nursing home during that time. Quote, "Alzheimer's takes away everything," end quote, Gray said. Quote, "It starts with your memories and then it progresses and takes away your ability to talk or walk, and then eventually it kills you. As my grandmother got further into the disease, she was having more bad days than good. She was feeling agitated," end quote. Because her grandmother couldn't talk, someone recommended that Gray and her mother give Clark a baby doll. The next thing that happened surprised them. Quote, "When we did that, she just lit up," end quote, Gray said. Quote, "There was a peace and comfort that really came over her that was indescribable. We watched her take this doll and cradle it and loved it, and that happened whether it was a good or a bad day," end quote. After Clark died 4 years ago, Gray teamed up with Wright McCourt for a cause. Wright McCourt had lost her father to Alzheimer's. Both women had met up at the nursing home before their loved ones passed away, and they came up with the idea of giving baby dolls to nursing homes. Quote, "My co-founder, Mary Wright McCourt, her dad was in the same facility that my grandmother was in," end quote, Gray said. Quote, "We just took care of all those residents. Her father passed away, and then a few months later, I lost my grandmother. We were lost. We were used to being caregivers and being at the nursing home 4 or 5 days a week to nothing," end quote. That project is called Angie's Babies, named in honor of Gray's grandmother. Every year on Mother's Day, Gray and Wright McCourt will take the baby dolls that have been collected and deliver them to Alzheimer's patients, both men and women. Quote, "It came about through not being a caregiver anymore and just being lost," end quote, Wright McCourt said on the project getting started. Quote, "I guess it came through grief. We used to be in the nursing home 4+ days a week. We were lost and didn't have anyone to take care of any longer. And I thought I needed to turn my grief into something positive. And I approached Julie and we decided to start Angie's Babies. And she said, that's a great idea. So we turned that around and felt we would do something good in honor of our loved ones," end quote. Since then, over 6,000 dolls have been donated. The project doesn't just include dolls. On Father's Day, they'll also deliver stuffed puppies or dolls to men to honor Mary's dad in a project called Jerry's Puppies. Quote, "We don't discriminate," end quote, Wright McCourt said. Quote, "If there's a man that wants a baby doll, we'll hand him one too," end quote. This year, Gray says they're hoping to give another 500 to 600 dolls. Quote, "We prefer the dolls that you can get from Walmart," end quote, Gray said. Quote, "They cost $11 per doll or a puppy. We do stuffed animals as well. We do a big stuffed animal push for Jerry's Puppies on Father's Day. Men seem to react more strongly to a puppy than a baby," end quote. Gray said that the more she and Wright McCourt got into this journey, the more they realized that the memories are made when someone is a young adult or parent never leave. Quote, "Although Clark couldn't articulate who I was or who my mom was, she knew it was a safe love and safe feeling," end quote, Gray said. Quote, "There was one day where I walked in and she had been nonverbal for well over a year at that point. Everyone was surrounding her and she was playing patty cake with the doll and talking clear with the hand movements and everything. That feeling of a mom never leaves," end quote. Wright McCourt talked about the reactions they'll see when placing the dolls in the hands of those who want one. Quote, whenever we place the dolls in the lady's arms, it is the instant look of love, and it triggers a memory to a time when they first became a mom, end quote, Wright McCork said. Quote, they grab the doll and cradle it. They look at it and hold it, and we feel like it triggers a memory when they were first a mom and first had babies, end quote. While Gray said the main delivery is Mother's Day for Angie's babies and Father's Day for Jerry's puppies, they'll operate year-round. Quote, we do it all year, end quote, Gray said. Quote, our facilities know that if baby dolls get lost, which happens more than you think, or new residents move in, we deliver throughout the year. We also work with some partners in our home health agencies as well, so we can deliver the dolls to the ladies at home with their caregiver, end quote. For more information about Angie's babies, visit the Facebook page at tinyurl.com/24UHF6YD. MCH nurses tout support, love of colleagues, and profession. A U.S. Health and Human Services study details Texas is ranked near the top when it comes to the country's nursing shortage, and by 2030, the state will fall roughly 16,000 nurses shy of meeting the anticipated demand. Federal officials believe only California will rank worse, falling 44,500 shy of the anticipated demand. Two Medical Center Hospital nurses who are celebrating National Nurses Week this week said they can't imagine any other profession. Yolanda Rios started at MCH 7 years ago as a certified nursing assistant and became a registered nurse just months before COVID-19 hit. When she was hired, she was looking for a way to support her family, but ended up falling in love with the profession. Even though she had tough moments during the height of the pandemic, thinking about bringing the virus home to her family, the emergency room nurse said she felt supported and loved by her colleagues. Quote, we were all a team together. We all got each other through it. We were all feeling the same emotions at the same time, but it didn't feel like I was alone in that moment, end quote, Rios said. Quote, I had support through it, and so it didn't break me as a nurse. It made me stronger, end quote. She also felt supported by her patients. Quote, the patients saw that we were willing to risk our lives, essentially, to protect them, to take care of them, and so they were thankful, end quote, Rios said. Nursing while wearing masks hasn't been easy, though, she said. Quote, it's hard when you're looking at a patient and you're like, I'm going to give you these medicines and I'm going to take care of you. They can't even see your face. They can only see your eyes, end quote, Rios said. Quote, how do you gain their trust when they can't even see who is taking care of them? Some of them don't have families, so you're like, can I call anyone? When they don't, it's very sad. What do you do at that moment? You be their family, end quote. Even now, some of those patients come back to the hospital and remember their names, she said. Nicole Strickland was still in nursing school at Midland College when the pandemic hit, but she never considered changing course. Her father is a doctor and her grandmother is a nurse, and she always felt, quote, called to serve, end quote. The intensive care unit nurse worked as a tech in the emergency room for a few years and spent a year as a nursing intern. She became a registered nurse exactly 1 year ago. Quote, I'm so grateful for my time in the ER, but in the ICU, there's so much to learn, and it is difficult. Every day is a challenge. You learn something new every day. You can work in ICU for 20 years and never learn everything that there is to know about ICU nursing, and that's what I love about it, end quote, Strickland said. Quote, there's so much that's changing about it. Every day we come up with new studies, new evidence-based practice for us to follow. It's difficult, but I love it how difficult it is, end quote. Some days are tougher than others, but she's never imagined giving up the profession, she said. Quote, I come home crying sometimes. I have a lot of compassion for my patients, and it's hard. But when I think to myself, it's like I know that I have provided the best care to the family and to the patient, and I want to come back the next day and keep providing that care, end quote, Strickland said. Quote, if they can one day look and say, you know, when my father was dying, that nurse Nicole really helped me through this time. I don't think I could have done without her. That's enough for me to come to work every day, end quote.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.